Glad to be here this morning. Thank you for another opportunity to be here at Fairhaven, folks. Folks are good to me. I appreciate the chance. And my name is Bill Case. I've met most of you, I think. If I haven't met you before, I'm glad you're here. This is a good group of people to be worshiping with. And I just trust that what I say today encourages all of you. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to leave here with some good food from the Lord. I want to ask the Lord to feed your souls today and feed your hearts and encourage you. And that's what I always want to do. And I think I have a message that will do that also. The message is for, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is going to be for you. If you're thinking about being a follower of Jesus Christ, this is still a message for you, because it will show you why you need to trust Jesus Christ this morning. And by the way, I just have to congratulate and say it's going to be a good day for Caitlin and Adam this Saturday, right? You folks are going to tie the knot, right? Congratulations to both. I'm excited for you. It'll be a great day for you. I want to share this morning the message that's on the screen here, Peace in the Midst of the Storms. It's taken from Matthew chapter 14, and I'm going to put it on the screen here, but I'll also open my Bible here and share it. I think I have the same translation. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. It's called the CSB. I've learned to like this translation. I think the screen is going to show probably the NIV. It might be the New King James. I don't know. I just know it's the Word of God, all right? So you follow along as we read this section, which this storm brewed up, and Jesus shows up. It goes like this. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And well into the night he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Jesus came toward them walking on the sea very early in the morning. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And that's the message that we're going to learn some promises from this morning. There are about 35 miracles recorded in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they can be divided up into two categories. There are miracles of nature, and there are miracles of healing. Now, there were some miracles that Jesus just healed. And then there were other miracles that just had to do with nature, like this one here. What we're going to do this morning is look at this miracle of nature, because I believe this miracle that we just read about, I believe it speaks to us regarding the storms which we face in our lives during our pilgrimage here on earth. And I'm going to need to ask the Lord to help me to have the right words for this. So let's pray. And let's just ask God to give us ears to hear this morning. God, as I share this morning, please help me to take these stammering lips and this bumbling tongue and let the words make sense to your people here. God, encourage them and help us to put our eyes on you through the storms of life. And that's all I ask, Jesus. Just remove me and be lifted up to your people here. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, all of us face storms in our lives. There is no saint here this morning that is immune from the storms of life. Difficulties come, don't they? And I don't believe God's always in the business of building bridges over troubled waters. You see, that would be the easy way out. We'd never learn to trust Him then. We'd never send down roots of faith into the storms of life. You think about those Hebrew boys in the book of Daniel when they were thrown into that they were thrown in that fiery furnace. Remember that? God didn't save them from the furnace. He saved them in the furnace. And Daniel, when he was thrown into that lion's den, he was saved in the lion's den. He wasn't saved from the lion's den. And if you look at the Apostle Paul's life, you're going to see that God didn't save him from any troubles. He had a lot of difficulties while he shared the gospel. So, friends, I propose to you this morning, and this is my proposition, this is my major theme this morning, that amid the storms of life, we have some precious promises from the Father. And so I want to show you this morning that these promises that God gives you will give you peace in the midst of your storms. Let's look at the first one from the passage we read this morning. First of all, we have the promise of His providence. Now that word providence simply means that He knows what we're going through. It's that He's omniscient and omnipresent. And His providence says that He'll either put us in the storm or protect us through this storm, but He's in control of it. See that verse there that we read? Immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. Now see that third word there? Immediately Jesus made, that word made, His disciples. That it means to compel. It means to force. It means that Jesus said to His disciples, He just didn't give them the option. You guys want to get in the boat? Jesus said, you guys, get in the boat. And it's used in the same way in Luke chapter 14, verse 23, where Jesus says, go into the highway and hedges and compel them to come. It's the same word. It means to force or urge or compel to do whatever is necessary. Now, why would Jesus force His disciples to get into a boat to go to the other side when there's a storm brewing? Well, previous to this miracle, if you look at the section right before this in your Bible, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And the people, they were ready to make Him king. I mean, they just had a meal provided for them at no charge. And the disciples were ready to bask in all the crowd's popularity. They were saying, this is going to be great, Jesus. Let's just stay here and they'll make you king and we're going to be part of your crew. Now, Jesus was aware of that. So He simply removes them from the favor of the crowd to the fury of the storm. Because in His providential care, He wants to teach them a lesson about life. Now, when Jesus compelled them to get in the boat, that means only one of two things, friends. Either Jesus sent His disciples out into that boat, not knowing there was going to be a storm brewing, or Jesus sent His disciples into the boat, knowing that a storm was going to be coming to them. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that the Jesus that I serve, this omniscient, omnipotent, fully God, fully man Savior, knew all about the storm that was going to be brewing on that sea. He knew about it, and yet He sends His friends out into the boat. Now, I believe it was part of God's providential will that those disciples go through that storm. Has anyone ever told you that when a Christian or a believer has a storm in his life, has anyone ever told you, well, if you have a storm in your life, it's because of disobedience in your life? Anybody ever heard that? You know, I believe there's a Greek word for that. Baloney. That's just not right. Now, granted, sometimes it is true. Remember Jonah? Jonah in the Old Testament, God said, Jonah, go preach the gospel at Nineveh. That's west of here. Jonah packs his bags. You know what he did? He heads east. He goes the other way. He says, I'm not going to do that, God. You know this story. God sent a great fish, a great whale. We don't know what it was. Swallowed Jonah up. Jonah's in this storm. Now, it was a storm of correction. God's correcting him. God brings this great whale to follow him to say, Jonah, I want to get your attention and correct where you're going here. So there are times that there are storms of correction, but there are also storms of, friends, perfection. And there's a difference. There are storms of correction in our life, and there are storms of perfection in our life. And the storms of perfection, they represent the providential intervention of a mighty God, allowed in your life so that He'd perfect your character, so that He'd shape you into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Storms of correction, storms of perfection. Friends, I've been in both of them. I've been in those storms of correction. I was an associate pastor as a young man early in my life and in my church. But I loved to play softball. And I skipped out of church one day so I could play a softball game. And I knew I shouldn't have been there. I should have been in church. It was a Sunday, and I skipped church. And I was playing second base, where I usually play. And the very first pitch, I kid you not, the very first pitch, the batter hits a ground ball to me. Now, I've fielded those ground balls thousands of times in my life. I've played baseball, softball all my life. So I knew what I was doing. I was waiting for that easy ground ball. That ball took a hop at the last second, came up, hit me right there in the eyebrow. It's called a boxer's cut, and it slit me right open right there on my eyebrow. I had to go to the doctor, get it stitched up. I had 7 stitches. I still wear that scar today on my eyebrow. You know what God was saying? He said, I'm going to correct you this day, son. And that's exactly what God... Now, it didn't hurt me. It didn't put me out of commission, but I still got a mark there that reminds me. There are storms of correction. When God redirects your life, sometimes He has to correct you. But there are also times in which God says, I'm going to allow this to perfect you. Now, think about it. It was in the storms and tears that the prophet Jeremiah emerged. And it was the storm of infertility that Hannah became a godly mother. And also, it was in the storm of exile that the apostle John there on that island of Patmos wrote the beautiful book and gave us all those accounts of the end times in the book of Revelation. Child of God, listen this morning. When your night seems darker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp, rest assured you are not outside the will of a providential intervention, caring God in your life. But now, had the disciples been disobedient here in Matthew 14? No, not at all. They're not disobedient. In fact, they were obedient. When Jesus said, get in the boat, they got in the boat. So they were in the storm because they obeyed the Lord, not because they were disobedient. You see, the disciples weren't in a storm of correction. They were in a storm of perfection. They were in this storm because of their obedience. But God's providential intervention was watching over them and teaching them. Friends, our greatest vision sometimes comes in our valleys. We may play in the calm, but we pray in the storms. And it seems that sometimes, C.S. Lewis says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but He shouts to us in our pain. They are storms of perfection, either allowed or sent by God to perfect your character. I've said this, and I'll say it probably more than once, but I've learned this lesson. Don't waste your valleys, friends. Don't waste your valleys. Because there's great lessons there. And if you waste them, you'll never learn what God's trying to teach you about His care in your life. So, the promise of His providence. But there's another promise also from this account. It's the promise of His prayers. Look what it says. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. The promise of His prayers. You see, Jesus sent His disciples out into the storm, and then He went up on the mountaintop to pray. And while He was up there on that mountaintop, from His vantage point, He could see their struggle against that stormy sea. And what these weary rowers didn't know was this. Jesus Christ could see them in their darkest hour and their weariness. He could see them struggling in that storm. And Jesus was praying for them. That's why He went up on that mountaintop to pray. And friends, I want to tell you today that Jesus is praying for you and He's praying for me in the midst of our storms. Now you say, Pastor Bill, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells us, oh, that's why. Look at Hebrews. The book of Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore He, Jesus, is able to save the uttermost, those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Now that word, that phrase, intercession for them, that simply means He intercedes. He prays for His people. He prays for His children. And just as Jesus saw those disciples under those dark, stormy clouds and in danger, He sees you under the danger also of those dark clouds of frustration and despair. And you know what Jesus does? He calls for a prayer meeting in heaven. When you're going through a storm, Jesus sends out the angels. He says, "Angels, hey, that child over there, he needs you. Go watch over that child of mine." Or He prays for the Holy Spirit in you. He says, "Encourage that child. Help that child of mine to trust in me." That's what He prays. He prays that you'll row against the tide of adversity. He prays that you'll stand firm, even though you are rocked and buffeted by the waves of misunderstanding or hurt or disappointment. Friends, I tell you this morning, in the midst of your storms, Jesus is praying for you. He sees what you're going through. And that means something to me. What a comfort that is to me when I'm going through a difficult time in my life, when I'm going through a storm. You know, it's wonderful to know that my wife is praying for me. It's wonderful to know that friends are praying for me. But I tell you this, to know that the living Lord of the universe, the King of Kings, is praying for me. Now that means something to me. That when I'm going through a storm in my life, Jesus knows what I'm going through. And He's asking the Father, and He's praying to the Holy Spirit, and He's sending out those angels to take care of me. Now, and that's exactly what you should do in stormy weather. Because you know what? This doesn't mean that you don't have to pray. It doesn't mean that you don't need to pray. In fact, that's when we should pray. When you're in the midst of a stormy gale, call on the Master and you'll call on Jesus. You say, "But Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand what I'm going through. It's hard to pray. I can't pray. I don't even know how to pray right now." You ever been in a situation where it's so hard that you don't know how to pray? Where you can't pray? Charles Spurgeon once said this, "Groanings which cannot be uttered are often prayers that can't be refused by God." I read of a little boy who was in Sunday school, maybe for the first time, and the Sunday school teacher was teaching the class how to pray. And he got done. The Sunday school teacher got done, and he was said, "Now, why don't you all pray?" And the little boy bowed his head with the others, and he started praying the alphabet. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. When he got all done, and all the children were done, the teacher came up to him and said, "Johnny, why did you pray the alphabet?" And the little boy said, "Well, I don't know how to pray, but I do know the alphabet, so I just put all these letters together, knowing that God would somehow make sense of them and let me know how to pray." It's like that. Friends, sometimes we don't know how to pray. But prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. Prayer is laying hold of His highest willingness. Prayer, it's the oil that lubricates the machinery of the heart. You know, theology is good, but sometimes we need some good neology, don't we? We need to know how to pray when times are tough. You see, when the outlook is bad, try the uplook. And so we have the promise of His providence. We have the promise of His prayers. And last, we have the promise of His presence. Look what it says. "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" We have the promise of His presence. Picture the scene now. It's the fourth hour of the night, which means it's about between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. Man, they're tired. They've been out there toiling all night, rowing against the tide. They're about 3 miles from shore. They're still bobbling and bouncing on the choppy sea. Water's coming in. They're throwing water out. And suddenly Jesus brings His prayer retreat up on that mountain to an end. He knows now's the time. He was interrupted by human need. And the last time was at least when there was a storm. There was another account here in the Gospels where there was a storm on the sea, but that time Jesus was in the boat with them, and you might remember that. And Jesus was asleep in the boat, but not this time. You can almost hear them yelling to each other over the winds, "Where's Jesus? Where's the Master?" And then Jesus steps out in that stormy sea, and immediately the pavement became the sea under his feet became like pavement, like a sea of glass, and there wasn't a zephyr in the air. The very laws of gravity had to be temporarily suspended because Jesus Christ is Lord, friends. He's Lord over that stormy sea. He's Lord over those waves. You see, there's no storm that can keep the Master from His beloved children, you see. And amid the storm, friends, you're guaranteed the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're going through a storm. I don't know. You're hurting. Maybe it's a storm of loneliness. Maybe it's a storm of marital discord or indecision. Maybe it's a wayward child. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's a financial storm. Maybe there's some personal storm in your life right now. I don't know. But you came here today and there's a storm in your life. Now, there might be a smile on your face, but there's a hurt in your heart. And nobody knows. Nobody knows about that storm but you. And there in the midst of that storm, I want to tell you this morning, friends, that you are guaranteed the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with you. Jesus said earlier, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He says, "I'm not going to leave you like orphans." And you don't need a word from your psychiatrist. You don't need a word from your social worker. You don't need a word from your counselor. You don't need a word from a fortune teller. You don't need a word from the psychic hotline. You need a word from God this morning that says this. Jesus says, "I won't always explain your storm, but I'm going to be with you in your storm, right there with you as you go through it." The promise of His presence in the midst of storms. And in our text here in verse 26, the very first part there, it says, "When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost.' So as they saw this milky white figure coming to them," they couldn't see yet who it was. The Bible says they were terrified and called out, "It's a ghost." And all of a sudden, the storm at sea became a storm at heart. Now they weren't terrified at the storm. Now they're terrified at what they see and don't understand. They knew a little bit about fighting a storm. After all, they are probably sailors. They are fishermen. They knew about the sea. But how do you fight a ghost? How do you fight something you see and don't understand at all? So now the storm's not bothering them. Now they're really scared of that ghost coming to them. They don't know what it is. Friends, you know, the toughest problems we face, the toughest problem you'll face is the problem that you don't understand. You don't know why. We can get through the common ones of life. You know, when I lose my keys and, you know, I can't find my smartphone, you know, I can understand those. I call God, "I don't know where my keys are." I can understand that, you know. I misplaced them. You get a traffic ticket, you're going too fast. I can understand that storm, you know. I was going too fast. But we can get through those easy to understand problem, but it's those inexplicable ones. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. What is it? It's when you're out there in the middle of a storm and you don't understand what's going on, man, that's when it gets tough. That seems to take the wind out of your sail, doesn't it? And so I guess I ask the question, friends, is there a ghost in your life today that you don't understand? You've asked God 1,000 questions. You've asked God 1,000 times, "God, why? Why is this?" But no answer has come. I've been there. A year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with a form of leukemia, a cancer. Trusted God all my life. Why, Lord, why?
And I couldn't understand. It's a ghost. Inexplicable. But friends, even though I had cancer, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I wouldn't trade that valley for any other lesson in my life. God showed me His presence clearer than I've ever known Him in all my 40-some years of ministry. You see, friends, it's those times when we don't know that God's presence shows up the most. It's those times that we don't understand that Jesus comes to our side and we know inside, Lord, I don't understand the cancer, but I know You're right here with me. I feel it. And Your strength is just overwhelming me. And Your grace, Your marvelous grace, amazing grace, is just pouring into me right now. Thank You, Jesus. There's a beautiful picture I've seen a number of times. And you might have seen it too. Maybe it's hanging on your wall at home. It's in Christian bookstores. And I've seen it a number of times. It's a picture of Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel in the Old Testament when he was thrown into the den of lions. And in this picture, there's a picture of Daniel standing. Standing there in the lion's den, his hands tied behind his back. Surrounded by those hungry lions. You ever seen it? It's a picture. It's a great picture. But as many times as I've seen that picture, all those times, I missed something that was most important. Something I didn't see. Something I didn't notice. That picture means everything to me now. His eyes. Daniel's eyes in the picture. You see, Daniel is just calmly standing there, hands shackled, looking up to God. He's looking up to God, and as Daniel looks up to God, friends, God takes care of the lions. Brothers and sisters here today, I say this from my heart. Because I know that's true. I know that's true. And I say it as a young high school boy who, 17 years old, knelt at his bedside and gave his heart to Jesus. And through all my years of my pastoring, keeping my eyes on Jesus, He hasn't removed all the storms. But He's been right there with me through them. And what the disciples thought was a ghost turned out to be the answer to their storm. It was Jesus Himself. And what you think may be a ghost in your life, something you don't understand, God says to you, I don't have to tell you what I'm doing. You just trust what I'm doing. You don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. And maybe in your storm today, maybe in your storm you're saying, Lord, why? Why, Lord? Why is this? And maybe God hasn't explained what He's doing. And maybe you don't understand what God is doing in your life. But would you allow Deuteronomy 29:29 just to... It's been a verse in my life I memorized. I know every time I don't know what God's doing, I turn to this verse. It says this, the secret things belong to the Lord. There are some things that God doesn't always tell us. God has some secrets, but He's got a purpose behind it. It's to help us to trust, to help us to say, God, I know You're here even though I can't see You. God, I feel You in my life, even though the storms around me seem like they're insurmountable. What a comfort that's been to me every year that I go through a storm. Every time there's a difficulty, there's some things we just don't know and don't understand. My granddaughter Lily was born with cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is an incurable disease. There's no cure for it. It used to be children would die 3 or 4 years of age. Now through treatments, they've extended that a lot longer. Recently, in fact, maybe you've seen the movie. There's been a movie out called 5 Feet Apart. I don't know if you've seen that movie. It's a love story. It's about two young people who have cystic fibrosis.
and they can't get together because they share this germ, this disease, that if they get together, they will die because the germs from this disease spread to each other. And so it's a love story. It's about cystic fibrosis. I said, God, why did you give my granddaughter cystic? She's a wonderful little girl. And she loves you, Lord. Why cystic fibrosis? Why did she get it? And then I found out through 23andMe that I had the gene that passed it to her. I say, Lord, why did you give it to me to pass to my granddaughter that she has this incurable disease? I don't always know. But I do know one thing about this. God wanted me to stand here right today in this Sunday in July as a 57-year-old man and look you in the eye and face to face and tell you this. And He didn't want me to say it theoretically. He wanted me to say it experientially. He wanted me to say it to you this morning, friends. Take your eyes off your circumstances. Christian, take your eyes off your ghosts. Don't pout. Don't complain. Trust God. He has everything under control. He knows what you're going through. He wants you to trust Him. He'll perfect your character. He'll make you like Jesus. Don't complain. Trust God. Friends, in the midst of your storm, understand this. God has given you the promise of His providence, the promise of His prayers, and the promise of His presence. Don't waste your valley. Let's go old school this morning. I want to close with a song. Point of Grace is going to sing it for us. The great song. I can't say it any better. I'm going to let these ladies sing it for you. It's a song that simply says, Jesus will still be there. You've probably heard the song. It goes back a few years. I know you probably know it. But I want the words to speak to you this morning because the Point of Grace shared it with us more better than I could. about my cancer. I came through chemo, and about 5 months ago, the doctor said, "You don't need to come back for another year. There's nothing there." They call it remission. I call it a healing. I don't know. All I know is this: God touched me, and if it comes back, I'll still trust in Him. It doesn't matter. I still trust in Jesus, no matter what storm He brings me through. And I hope you do too. Listen, child of God, hang on to Him. In these tough times are Christian for believers in this world. They really are. And we're going to have to stand firm. Stand firm. So that's my encouragement. If you don't know Jesus this morning, man, what are you waiting for? I tell you, there's nothing better than to come to Him and say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me." And you're cleansed and the guilt is gone and the sins are washed away and you're brand new. There's just nothing better, friends. Nothing better. Nothing better. Let's pray as we close. Thank you, God, for being with us. Thank you that you care enough about us that your providential care sometimes takes us through storms so that we trust in you. And thank you, God, that your Son Jesus is always praying for us. And thank you also for your presence in the midst of our storms. And that person who might be going through a storm today, God, let this be the turning point in their lives where they just yield completely to you and say, "Jesus, it's all right." Thank you for these people. Bless this church, I pray. And bless us as we leave. And I pray that you'll bless also Caitlin and Andy as they're wed together this Saturday. Bless them, God. Bless their lives. Be a testimony to you in Jesus' name. Or Adam and Caitlin, bless them, God. In Jesus' name, amen.